Today's daf is Yuma Daf Lamed. Yuma Daf Lamed. We left off at the bottom of Chav Tes Amid Beis. We're up to Tudat Zeh Klal Hayyib Mikdash. This was the Klal Mikdash. If you remember that in the Mishnah discussed that the Klal Mikdash was that if someone defecated, then he had to go to the mikveh. If someone relieved himself, Meraglayim, if he urinated, he would just do Kiddush Yadayim Viraglayim. Says the Gemara, Zeh Klal Hayyib Mikdash. Bishlam Meraglayim, we understand why he has to do Kiddush Raglayim. He's had to wash his feet. Mishnah Ritzaitis. Because we're concerned about the Tzaitis. We're concerned about the little droplets that may have sprayed onto his feet. You want to clean him off from the urine that may have sprayed onto his feet. Eli Yadayim, my time, presumably the fellow did not use his hands. They weren't involved in the act of urinating. So why is he washing his hands? So what should be just Kiddush Raglayim, not Yadayim? Amar Baba Zay Samaris, Mitzvah Tapav Lamed Amud Aleph, Mitzvah L'Shavshev. There's a Mitzvah L'Shavshev, there's a Mitzvah Drabbanon to rub away any droplets of the Meraglayim that may be found on his feet. So is the mitzvah to rub it away? What's the idea behind it? Meseilei Rav Ami is a raya to Rav Ami. Rav Ami says, "Us l'adam sheitzes b'nitzaitzes shalgam b'raglav." It's us for a person to go out with nitzaitzes with little droplets of urine on his feet. Why? Not because it's disgusting, but which it is. But there's a bigger issue at hand. The bigger issue at hand is not just about cleanliness, not just about being disgusting. If it's noticeable that there's meraglayim on his feet, someone's going to be chayshish that his aver does not work properly. If it doesn't work properly, okay, so it's a very bad thing. But what's the worst that comes out of it? The Gemara says terrible thing comes out of it. You might see laz alban of shimam zerim. If he is not capable, if his organ's not working properly, that means the children that came from him and his wife did not come from him, and which means his wife, who's a married woman, has had relations with someone else, which would render the children that's going to, again, obviously it's a very extreme rumors, but it'll lead to rumors. I guess people like sensationalist type of ideas. It'll very quickly lead to laz, bad rumors on his children, that they're mamzerim, and therefore the person should be careful to wipe off, to clean off any remnants from his feet. And therefore the hands also, because of this drabbanon of wiping off any remnants from one's feet, hands also require hand washing. Now, a few points on this. First of all, step one, there's going to be two, three points of this. Step one, Taisi Shadam says, we're talking about a case where, middle of the day, every Kayim before he starts Avaida used to go to the mikveh. It's actually come up in the next Mishnah. A Kayim used to go to the mikveh before he did Avaida, and therefore, this whole conversation wouldn't be relevant if it's in the morning and he went to the washroom and he has to go to do Avaida. Anyway, he goes to the mikveh, washes his whole body in the mikveh, certainly Kiddush, and he also does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before he starts the Avaida every day. That can't be our conversation. We're talking about a Kayim who already was post that. He's in the middle of the, he's prepared to do Avaida, and now he has to go relieve himself like his normal. So, before he comes back to Aveda, he needs to Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. Okay, that is Taisa Shana. Now, Rashi in the Mishnah, already we explained this when we read the Mishnah, and that's how we've been reading the Gemara, taking for granted that it's Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. When the Mishnah says that if a person urinates, if he goes to the mikveh, if he goes to the washroom Gedalim, he's got to go to the mikveh. If he urinates, we said in the Mishnah, then he has to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. The truth is, it's really the Lashon HaMishnah. The last words of the Mishnah were Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. But Rashi sticks to the words, the last words of the page, Chav Chesam Aleph. Rashi says, what does it mean, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Minakir. It means from the kir itself. Rashi is washing from the kir. From Al Gemara, it seems pretty clear that the washing we're doing is not really a washing of sanctification, it's a washing of cleaning the schmutz. That's why the Gemara initially asked, let him wash off the feet and not the hands. Terence says, no, the hands also get dirty. And the first wash your hands as well. But it could have easily been understood. We're not talking about a Kiddush. Because a Kiddush, maybe we wouldn't start splitting up hands or feet. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. We'll get to that in a second. But Bechlal, it's clear in the Gemara, we worried about which parts of the body got dirty. And if it's a part of dirtiness, so you only wash off if it got dirty. So says the Sfas Embassy, yes, that's a Kasha Rashi. Rashi saying that Kiddush is talking about from the Kir. Who says? Kiddush of the Kir is when a person Mesiach Das, when he stopped focusing on his hands being ready, fit for Avoida, he's got to wash his hands again from the Kir, wash his feet again from the Kir. But Stam Zay, when he's dirty, he doesn't have to wash again from the Kir. Just clean it off, wash it off, and it should be okay. So the Sfasem was a little bothered why Rashi jumped to the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim over here being from the Kir and not stopping a cleaning of the hands and feet. Now the Achreinim want to suggest that there's a requirement for all Kohanim before they do Avoida. We just mentioned it a moment ago. There's a requirement for all them before they do Avaida, to go to Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And therefore, it would make sense that if someone who urinated, he would be obligated to go back and redo that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and that's where Rashi gets it from. Furthermore, they stress, that's also Hesach Hadas. He can't really do Avaida at the time that he's urinating, so that itself would be considered potentially Hesach Hadas, and maybe that's what requires real Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. But again, that's not quite his answer to Fasem Ezez Kasha. They're answering on behalf of Rashi, where Rashi is saying that the washing the hands is from the Kir, but the Fasem Ezez clearly was bothered and wanted to suggest that perhaps the washing the hands and feet in our Mishnah after one relieves himself is, if one urinates, is washing stamazai, just cleaning and not washing for the kir. That'll be very, very relevant in the next conversation. So the Michas Chinuch learns that kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is not a package deal. Washing one's hands and feet for the kir before doing avoda, kiddush yadayim v'raglayim in general is not a package deal. If there's a reason, let's say he was mesiach das about his hands and he wasn't mesiach das about his feet, he only has to rewash his hands with the kir. He will not have to rewash his feet. That is the Michas Chinuch mitzvah kuf vav. The Rechaim HaKadosh in Parshas Kisisa says no, it is a package deal. If one has to do rewash his feet, he's got to rewash his hands with it. If one has to rewash his hands, he's got to rewash his feet with it. It is a package deal. Our Gemara would seem to read much better like the Michas Chinuch, because Gemara's question that we started off with, what did the Gemara say? Let him just wash his feet. Why is he busy washing his hands? What do you mean? It's a package deal. So that would fit beautiful, like the Michas Chinuch. According to our Chaim HaKadosh, it would be a little more shver. But if we go like the Arsameach, not the Arsameach, sorry, this Fasemes that we just pointed out, who is bothered that why Bechlala we focused over here on washing from the kir? Maybe we're just focused on a regular washing. It's not talking about washing from the kir. The Kasha wouldn't start. Vegishmak, according to the Fasemes' Kasha on Rashi, if you would indeed learn our mission doesn't mean washing from the kir, it just means regular washing, then our Gemara, which is asking, wash the feet, not the hands, wouldn't be a Kasha on the Chaim HaKadosh, because yes, when you wash from the kir, and you're doing a real kiddush, you got to do both together. It's a package deal. But when you stop as a washing for cleanliness purposes, and it's not a hesach adas issue, then maybe then you wouldn't need to do both. But even the Arachayim HaKadosh would agree you don't have to do both hands and feet. Not a package deal. Very interesting. Machlekes ultimately are the Michas Chinuch and the Arachayim HaKadosh, whether or not the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim for the kir means both hands and feet always, or it could be hands or feet. Now, two more points related to this machlekes, and then we'll get back into the Gemara. Another machlekes that's related is whether or not you got to wash hands and feet simultaneously. It's brought down a discussion in the Mefarshim, a discussion whether or not you have to wash the hands and feet at the same time, or you can do one after the other. Could be it's totally the same discussion. If you hold that it's the tali zebazah, maybe it's supposed to be done at the same time as well. If you hold that not tali zebazah, then it wouldn't bother us to do one after another. Adrav, you don't have to do both. You don't have to do both bechlal. Certainly, one after another shouldn't bother us. One more point on this is the Michas Chinuch also writes. He suggests the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, the madrega for chatzitza min hatorah would be roiv umakbid, right? Which is the general rule. The general rule is what's chatzitza on a derais level? Ruboy umakbid, a majority, and yumakbid. If it's a miyah to the body, or if you're not makbid, either or, that would not be a chatzitza on a derais level. The rabbanan level is still chatzitza, but it's on a derais level, it's only chatzitza if you have both ruboy umakbid. Chiddush over here is that. Now, when we say Ruba Makbid, normally there is discussion of the Rishayim. Does that mean the whole body or one section, one area? Let's say Rave of the hair is tangled. Is that considered a chatzitza? Or you need Rave of the body to have a chatzitza, and therefore the Rave of the hair being tangled is not Rave of the body, and it's not a chatzitza. That's a discussion in the Rishayim. But by Kiddush Dayim V'raglayim, Michas Chinuch wants to suggest that if Rave of the hands are there's a chatzitza, or Rave of the feet is a chatzitza, that would present a chatzitza for the hands or the feet respectively, meaning l'shtasai. If I can wash the hands separate from the feet, then the chatzitza for the hands will be judged as separate from the chatzitza for the feet. That would also seemingly be l'shtasai. So all these ideas, whether you got to wash the hands and feet together, whether they always have to wash both, and whether or not there's a chatzitza is being judged together, the chur will be totally in the same general machlekes. Okay. So that's where I'm right again with Laman Abed Aleph. We are just a couple of lines down from the top of the page. Last words of the line, Amrav Papa. What if this tzaya is literally excrement and it's in the place where it comes out of, right? The place where it leaves the body. So if it's in a spot over there, which the Gemara is going to say there's actually an added chesaron to be in that spot. We'll get there shortly. But tzaya in its spot, also because of kriyishma. One cannot say, one cannot link kriyishma while there's tzaya on his body. Ask the Gemara, what's the case? Idaniris, if it's noticeable, pshita. Why would that be any different than halacha is? Some fresh Gemara in brachas, chav beis, chav kim, chav daven there, that if there's tzaya that's exposed, a person can't daven in the presence of tzaya, certainly if it's on his body, he wouldn't be able to daven. Now, l'chayra, there is a fundamental difference. Over there, it's mamish exposed, not even covered. Over here, l'chayra, the case would be that it's covered. L'chayra, the place where it's covered, right? The chiddush in our case is covered, but the Gemara holds, still as a matter of fact, the Gemara holds, it's pashut, that if tzaya that's not on the body, not attached to the person, is a problem if it's exposed, even tzaya that's covered, if it's clearly visible, had it been uncovered, that for sure would be an issue, so that can be a chiddush. Says Gemara, Idlainers, and Elamai, it's not visible. I mean, you forget about the fact that it's covered, the person wearing clothing. Even if the person would not be wearing clothing, if they would not be wearing clothing, it still wouldn't be visible. Like no Torah Machasharis. How could that be an issue of Tzaya? The Torah wasn't going to be Machasharis. If somewhere the crevices of a person's body, it's not completely spotless, clean from Tzaya, that's also, it's not noticeable, you can't see it, even if the person be undressed. That's going to be a problem with Tzaya Grishma. That's as a person expected to be like a Machasharis, that's the opposite extreme. Says Gemara, like Tzricha Deyesh Veneris, Vaimim Veneris. Very, very specific. We're talking about a Madrega where when he's standing, it's not noticeable. When he's sitting, so it exposes a little bit more of that area, and then it would be noticeable. Again, he's wearing clothing, he's sitting on the ground. It's not necessarily mamish noticeable because it's maybe covered, but theoretically it would be noticeable if it would be uncovered. One second. Sorry, how's this different from Tzaya Al-Basari? This part we learned in a Brisa. We learned in a, it's not a Brisa, it's Machlokes Amram. We learned in a Memra. Tzaya Al-Basari, if this is Tzaya on one's flesh, which is covered, by the way. Or his hands were in a basic kisei. So his hands were in a place where it's matunif, where one can't dive in a basic kisei, but it's just his hands there, the rest of his body's not. What's the halacha of both these cases? It's mutter krishma. In the first case, the tzaya is covered. In the second case, it's only his hands there, not his mouth and nose. We'll see that's the key according to Rav Huna. And therefore, you can say krishma. Rav Chizah no, also goes krishma, you can't say krishma. What's the difference, by the way, between Rav Chizah and Rav Huna? Rav Chizah learns, my entire body, all my bones speak to Hashem when I daven, and therefore, if there's tzaya anywhere in the body, it's a problem. Whereas, and also if his hands are in a baka matunuf, it's a problem because kolatz maisei are part of the tefillah. Whereas Rav Huna says that the tefillah comes from where? Rav Huna learns that the tefillah, Rav Huna is of the opinion, that's kolat hashama. Talalka. We see that, of course, in the Halukas. Call it a Shema. Talalka. So it means, oh man, a Shema. Where's the Shema? Where a person breathes. His mouth and his nose has to be in a clear place. His hands can be in Makam Atunif, but his mouth and his nose are in a place where it's not a improper place. It's not a dirty or improper place. Then he could still daven, even though his hands are in the improper place. Similarly, even though there's Tzaya on the body somewhere else besides the mouth and nose. And it's covered, it's not visible, you could daven. But you see very clearly, if Huda was not bothered by Tzaya on the body, so why in our Gemara, with the Gemara's best Akasha, Rav Papa was bothered that Tzaya, Baisai in the Makam, where it comes out, even if it's only nearest, and when a person is sitting down, is a problem. Even when when he's covered wearing clothing, it's still a problem. And Rav Huda is saying, it's not a problem, it's Akasha. And Rav Papa answers the Gemara, there's a big difference. Says Gemara, if there's more disgust and foulness in the spot where it comes out of, that general area is more foul, and therefore in that spot, if it's there and it's noticeable, it is visible even when a person is just sitting, again, of course, had the person been undressed, that's a problem for davening. But anywhere else in the body, if it's covered, not as much of an issue, b'chiddush, but not as much of an issue. Okay, that's the machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, and explanation how Rav Huna can still jive with Rav Papa. Now the Magen Avraham Siman Ayin Gimel, he quotes the Gemara Brachas on Daf Chafei that according to Rav Huna, it's totally in the neshama. Like he pointed out, if a person we're calling it haneshama talaka, so where a person breathes, where a person talks and breathes, that's what we're saying. If that's in a spot, if his mouth is in a spot which is not proper, then he can't say krishma. But if it's just his hands, then it's not a problem. So Magen Avraham elaborates, and therefore, even though Agamar says if he's yadayim or the basic keys, it's not a problem. He says lavdaf yadayim, raglayim, all other parts of the body besides the mouth and nose. As long as it's any other part of the body besides the mouth and nose, as in the basic kisei, he'll still be able to daven. Only if the mouth and nose are in the basic kisei, then he won't be able to daven. However, the Magen Avraham does point out if rave of the body is in the basic kisei, even if the mouth and the nose are not in the basic kisei, but if rave of the body is in the basic kisei, then his mouth and nose also are like nigrar, they're schlepped after the rave of the body, which is in a basic kisei, and Yvaita would not be able to say kriyishma, even though the mouth and nose, which is where the neshama comes, so to speak, is represented, is outside of the basic kisei. It's considered as if it's inside because it goes basar, rave of the body. Now, Tesa Bracha says, Allah is like Rav Chisda. We know Rav Chisda, Rav Huna. Who's the Rebbe? Who's the Talmud? Rav Chisda was the Talmud of Rav Huna. So very interesting, the Tosfos in Brachas paskens like Rav Chisda. We have found conflicting ideas about this, that Allah is paskens like the later opinion, the Amir was later because we assume he knew what the early opinion was and still argued, and then we pass it away. But when it comes to Rebbe and Talmud, we pass like the Rebbe. Unless the Talmud specifically speaks out some reason why we shouldn't, we pass like the Rebbe. So over here, interesting enough, Tosfos Brachas passes like Rav Chisda, who's the Talmud, L'chumra. That is a Chumra. He's being machmered like Rav Chisda to say that Tzaya, even if it's covered, hands, the Beis Kisei, is a problem. One cannot daven. Tosfos in Brachas is machmer like Rav Chisda. However, the Rif paskins like Rav Huna. The Rav paskins the Kula like Rav Huna. Our Gemara that asked on Rav Papa from Rav Huna would be a little bit of a riot to the Rif that we paskin Rav Huna. Hence the fact that Gemara asks from the lenient position of Rav Huna, Akasha and Rav Papa, is because we paskin like Rav Huna. That'll be a sugar riot to the Rif. Okay. Says the Gemara right here. Says the Tanabar. Halacha besuda, halacha suda with regard to relieving oneself from the suda. And the question is, does he have to wash again or not? So halacha is as follows. Other beits lashed mayim, a person goes out to relieve himself to urinate, not yet yadachas. He has to wash one hand. Which hand? The hand we spoke about before, that is meshafshav, that he uses to wipe away any droplets of urine. Dibrem chavir v'hiflig, what if he spoke to his friend? And it took him more time, so not only did he go to the washroom, he then chapped the shmooze, and it took a while, he's away for an extended period. Then, night to shayat the then he has to wash both of his hands when he comes back, come back in to eat. And furthermore, when he washes his hands, late to because he shouldn't wash outside and then enter, having his hands washed already, rather, because people are going to think he didn't wash his hands, because there's be a chshad that he didn't wash his hands again, rather he washes in his spot near a seat, and also makes a rash out of it. He washes both of his hands, and he passes the pitcher back to the guest to like to make a noise about the fact that he's washing his hands again. It should be noticeable that he's washing his hands again. The issue over here is now we're talking about a guy that besides going to the washroom, he was away for an extended period of time, which the first discussed. Rashi seems to say that he was away for a shah or two, which is like an hour or two. He was away for an hour. He was away for a real period of time. So over there, he was certainly mesiach das from his meal, and once he's mesiach das from his meal, he's not considered to be even protecting, washing his hands. So the original chiyuv of washing one's hands comes back. That's why he has to wash his hands properly. And not only that, he should wash his hands in the presence of the other people. Al tzchshad. Amar Rav Chizda qualifies and says, Le'amar and Elishnais, that's only when he tends to. This that he doesn't have to wash his hands, that he has to wash his hands inside on purpose. It's not sufficient to wash it outside. It's when he's only drinking. He's coming back to the meal. He's only drinking. He better wash his hands inside. Avlechov is coming to eat. He can wash his hands outside. Ironically enough, the more he's doing, he's coming to eat, he can wash it outside, and that's sufficient. Why? To made the yadi danina daite. Everyone knows that a person is, an average person has enough sensitivity, enough istinus, he's not going to leave for a while, come back, and eat without washing his hands properly. And therefore, even if he didn't wash his hands inside, the Ilm is going to assume, take it for granted, that he washed his hands outside, and the chashad wouldn't be there. And based on that same idea, Amar Rav Nachman Hitzuk, Vana, I, Rav Nachman, who was more of an instantist, I feel the shazami. Even when I come back to drink, I don't have to wash inside, I can wash outside. Because it's very known that I'm a little bit of an instantist, I'm delicate in nature, and therefore I would never go back, go relieve myself, or go speak to people, and come back in and drink without washing my hands. So even if I don't wash inside, everyone knows I wash my hands, and therefore it's not a problem. And then first I'm extrapolating that and say, us, where we have washing stations outside every washroom, and it's common practice to wash one's hands after going to the washroom. So look at us, there for sure would be no need for anybody to go and wash their hands if they call v'eder when they sit back down to the meal, because it's assumed that the person washed his hands after you leave himself. That's the standard practice of all people. I shouldn't say all people, of the vast majority of people. And therefore, there would be no, we'd all fit with this criteria of Nachman Yitzchak, and we'd have to wash our hands again inside. Washing outside would be sufficient. Okay, Zakta Mishnah. A person cannot enter the Azara for Avaida, Afilu Tar, even if he's Tar, Achiyatam. Even if he's Tar, to our knowledge, the guy is Tar, totally Tar, still he has to go to the mikveh before he goes into the Azara. Our lashon of our Mishnah is, before he goes into the Azara, for what? For Avaida. Jump into the first Rashi. Rashi says, Lav Dafka. Don't say Avaida. Lav Dafka. Ainad Michels Azara Achitwell, the time of fresh mover. Rashi says, Agamar, our Mishnah really means you cannot go into the Azara without going to the mikvah, Bechlal. Whether you're going for Avaida or not, you may be going there for no reason. Still, you have to do a tefillah before going to the Azara. That's Rashi. Taisus seems to agree to Rashi, although Taisus will quote the question that we're about to bring, we'll speak it now. Taisus Shonim argues, our Rashi Taisus says, what do you mean? It says in the Mishnah the word Avaida, first of all. Okay, switch to Gersa. But the Gemara is going to bring various reasons behind this washing of the hands. And one of them is going to be a Kal V'Chomer from the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, that he washes his hands between Avaidas. And we're talking about going from Kedusha to Kedusha, from Makam Kaddish to Makam Kaddish. And still he has to wash his hands. Kol Shekein, a new person coming to Avaida, has to wash his hands. But the Kol Shekein is only if you do Avaida. If you're not doing a vayda, you don't have any koshki, you don't have a kavachemer, and therefore says today's shanim ad rabba. The Mishnah is talking about dafka when a person is coming to a vayda. If he would not be coming to a vayda, then he would not have to wash his hands. I keep saying wash hands. We're talking about going to the mikveh. He would not have to go to the mikveh if he wasn't coming to Aveda. We're talking about when someone's going to Aveda. That's what the Kavu Chaimer is talking about. That's how the Tesha Rosh learns. The word Aveda in Mishnah is yes, Tavka. Okay. Chamesh Tevilas Vasar Kedushin Teva Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Bei Miyayim. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol performs 5 Tevilas, that's immersing his whole body in water, and 10 times of Kiddush Dayim Reglayim. V'Klum Mekadesh Bei Parva. All the time, all the immersions of the mikveh took place on the top of the chamber of Beis HaParva, with the Marzen discussed later how water's got up to those levels. Chutz Mizumavad, except for the first one took place outside before he entered the Azara. The first one took place outside. He went to the mikveh. Parsis on the Shabbat, Beinah Vanam, they'd spread a linen sheet between him and the people, and Kiddush, there's a Shalom Yitzhov here, but we'll just read it. Kiddush Yadav Viraglav, and they would sanctify his hands and feet. Or he would sanctify his hands and feet. Okay. Says the Gemara. This going to the mikveh before someone enters the Azara. Shalom Es Benzema. Tfilu Zulamel. What is the source, what is the reasoning behind this tefillah, of this going to the mikveh? So we're going to have 2 mahalachim of the Gemara. First is the answer Ben Zayma gives. They ask Ben Zayma the question. Amalei Ben Zayma answer them. Uma b'shana, we spoke that already. Uma b'shana, b'kodesh kodesh. Uma k'b'shana, anash karis, l'makam b'shana, anash karis. Okay, God named Kippur. He's switching from one holy place to another holy place. From a place where a person whose tummy goes is chayv karis, to another place that a person's tummy is chayv karis. So he's going from holy to holy to do avaydis, yet to tefillah. In between switching avaydis, he's got to go to the mikveh. That's part of the seder of Yom Kippur. Ha b'shana, b'chol kodesh, he's coming to avaydah. He's going from chayv to kodesh. And he's going from a place where there is no nishkaris to a place where the unish is karis for being tame, eno din, shaitan tefillah. Certainly, he would require tefillah. In such a case, that person would certainly require tefillah. That's the kavu chaimer. So, if assuming that the tefillah that Kohen Gadol does between Aveda L'Aveda and Yom Kippur have some sort of biblical, some sort of deraisa source, which they do, so then this kavu chaimer we're making would also say that there's a deraisa that a person who's coming from the chayil to kaidish, a kayin coming from chayil to kaidish, has to go to the mikveh before going to the azara. It would be a derisive din. Look at the next line. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, srach tefillah zu. It's a srach tefillah, it's a reminder type of tefillah. Meaning what? Kadeshi yizgar, tumi yishana shabiyadi yifresh. It's a gzera darbanan. That in case this guy has some tumma that he had that in the past little while, that he's not remembering, he's about to go to Aveda, by putting him in the mikveh, even though he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to go to the mikveh. By putting him into the mikveh, before he goes to Azara, it's like a reminder to him to jot his memory to try to see if there's any other more sinister timah he should be worried about. So it's according to Rebbe, it's Gzeirat Rabbanan. According to Ben Zayma, L'chayr, it is a kavachemer on a din deraisa. Maka Mifiki, what's the machlekes? What's the basis of machlekes? Top of a maze. Be'achule avaydik Mifiki. So the Mara is going to suggest, the Mara is going to give 5 suggestions. Mara wants to know where's enough, Mara is really asking, where's there enough kamina in the 2 opinions of Ben Zayma and Rebbe? They both agree he's got to go to the mikveh before he goes to Azara. What's the difference whether the reason is because kavachemer from the kippur, or whether the reason is because it's a gzera d'rabbanan in order that they should remember if he happened by chance had to become dummy. What's the difference? Mara's going to offer 5 answers. The first 2 the Mara falls off of. The last 3 will stick. Answer number 1. Achulei avaydik mifkei. The same machlokes says if whether b'dieved, whether it apostles, it defiles the avaida. Meaning, what if the kohen did not do this tefillah and he did avaida? Leben zayim meichal avaida. According to Ben Zayim, was learning from pasuk chamish, learning from kippur. L'chayr, we should say it is meichal. It defiles the avaida. Rabbi Yehuda lemech avaida, but his court of Yehuda whole thing's gzeir darbanan. It's gzeir darbanan. He shouldn't forget a tefillah, but if he didn't do it, okay, it's gzeir darbanan. It's not makiv. The avaida would not be meichel. That is a simple explanation of an afkmina. Says the Gemara, not so fast. It's in logic, in theory, it would make sense, but we know it's not true. Will Ben Zayma be meichel? According to Ben Zayma, if the person, the kohen, doesn't go to the mikveh for the morning, is it going to be meichel avaida? I'll bring your proof now, because even the kohen gadol yom kippur, where we're learning it from, if he skips, he's supposed to do it, but if he skips it, it's not makiv. Says the Gemara v'atanya, kohen gadol shalei taval v'lei kiddush. Kohen gadol, let's skip the tefillos, skip the kiddush, between one beggin and another beggin, between avaida avaida, between one avaida and another avaida. He's supposed to do it, but he did not. Avaida sukshir, but yevet avaida still kasher. That's first in. That's the thing that we need. That the Kohen Gadol that skipped over the tefillah, b'dieved, avodah still kasher. And Abizai, we lost the kavu chaimer, because we didn't lose the kavu chaimer, but b'dieved, maybe the chachilah is supposed to do a tefillah before coming to Azara, a regular kayin, but b'dieved, if you did not, it can't be worse than the case that you're learning from, which is Kohen Gadol Kippur, which b'dieved is kasher. Separate din, echad kain gadol kain edit, shlei kiddush yadav raglav, a kain gadol kain edit, they did not do kiddush yadav raglayim, v'av ravayda did avayda, avayda sapsula. If they did kiddush yadav raglayim, and did avayda, avayda is possible, that's a separate din. If they neglected to do kiddush yadav raglayim, and then avoda, that avoda is going to be pasul. Okay, but the point is, you want to make a chiluk to Zayber and Rebbe and say that the nafkmina is bidi evid. If you skip this tefillah and then stop the avoda, according to Rebbe Zayber, it's no good. According to Rebbe, it's going to be good. Bidi evid. We know Ben Zayber also agrees that bidi evid it's good because even by kohen gadol, it's good. Ella lameka even kohen gadol be kipper. Ella what must be nafkmina lameka ba'aseka b'fikli. Machlokes between the men is whether or not there's a chiyuv asay. The Ben Zayber, like we keep saying, it's like some sort of derisive like source. So kohen asay, just like there's an asay thing kohen gadol to do all the switches on kipper. This is learned from kavach chaymer. So there's an asay for the kohen hedyot to go to the mikvah before he does avoid on a regular day. Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Asay. According to Rabbi Yehuda, all these examples are there will be no assay. In fact, Gemara, not so fast, will be a stand of Yehuda, I Svara. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold the Svara? For a tiny Mitzvah, Tevel, V'aymed, B'shar Nikner. We learned that the Mitzvah goes to the mikveh, he's Tevel, and he stands by Shar Nikner. That's Tanakama. The Mitzvah, we know Mitzvah is Milva's 8-day process of cleansing. He already had stuff sprinkled on him day 3 and day 7. Now day 8, he's going to put his fingers by the mountain behind us to have the matan dam on his thumbs and on his big toe and his ear. But he can't go into the Azara. He's not purified yet. He's still tummy. He can't take the dam out of the Azara because it'll get psoriasis. So he goes to Shar Nikner, and that's his in-between place where he can stick his hands in that area, in that doorway, and it's not considered psoriasis for the dam, but it's considered as if he's in a Makom Kadosh. He's able to have the matan minus there. Okay, so we're saying that he went to the mikveh the night before. The Tanakhama says he has to go to the mikveh before he goes into Shanikner. Rebuda says what I was about to say a moment ago, since he went to mikvah the night before already, he went to mikvah on the seventh day, he need not go to the mikvah again on the eighth day in the morning. He went to the mikvah on the seventh day, that's sufficient. He doesn't have to go again in the morning on the eighth day. What's the question? You see, Rebuda himself is saying that he doesn't have to go to the mikvah because he already went the evening before. So this price, Rebuda says very clearly, that a person is not required to go to the mikvah on the day that he's going to the Azara at all. It sounds like even on the, not even the Chachila. Answers the Gemara, who can tell time? We said the reason is, Shaili, the person asked what the Hamid was. Who can tell time? Shekfar Tavam Erev. He already went to the mikvah on the previous evening. That's why he need not go again. But under normal circumstances, a person is going to the Mikdash Azara for the first time, Avad, you have to go to the mikvah. In fact, the Karla Makarla, what was your Hamina? Isn't it clear in Buddha's words? Ain't Zarat Tvila Shekvar Tavam Erev. He went to mikvah yesterday. That was seemed to be a very clear answer. Says the Gemara, Mishim the Kabayla Mirba, Achriti Allah, because there's actually another brisa which we're going to have, which is a stira, a further stira. That's why we quoted that brisa and brought a question from it. Not really so much from a question from Arsugya. Arsugya have a simple answer. Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to go to the mikvah lechatchila unless you went the night before. Then you don't have to go. Very simple answer. But we have a third brisa that makes a new issue. It says Gemara. Because we have the brisa as follows: Lishkas Amitzaram. If you remember, we had this earlier in Masechta in the Ezras Nashim, which is 135 amas. By 135 amas, it was on the eastern side of the Azara before you get to the Ezras Kayanim, Ezras Israel, Ezras Kayanim, and the Kodesh Kedashim, which is on the center towards the west. On the eastern side was a chamber of the Nashim, which was 135 square amas, and there was in this Ezras Nashim, there were four chambers, one in each corner, and in the northwest corner was the chamber of the Mitzaram. That's where the Mitzaram go to the mikvah. Not only the Mitzaram, Ella Koladam. Not only the Mitzaram go to the mikvah there, but rather anyone who's entering the Azara has to go to the mikvah, which is great, like our Rabbi Yehuda Avi Abras, who also says maybe the Rabbanan, but he says that everyone going to the Azara has to go to the mikvah. That's great. The problem is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying very clearly that a Mitzaira has to go to the mikvah. And we just quoted a Bryce a few lines ago that Mitzaira the 8th day does not have to go to the mikvah because he already went by down the day before. So we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. That is why we quoted that middle Bryce to ask the stira. Like Kasha, the answer is to the stira is Hadatavel. If he went the night before, he doesn't have to go again, Taka. If he didn't go the night before, then he would have to go on the 8th day. In fact, Mar Idlai Tavel, Herav Shemesh, but one second, if he didn't go to the mikvah on the 7th day, is he not still missing Herav Shemesh? He's not still missing that process of going to the mikvah waiting for sunset? Says Gemara. You're right. El Aid Vaidiv Tavel. Avad, we're talking about a guy who went to the mikvah on day 7. But it depends if it's Mesiach Das or not. If it's Mesiach Das, then, so I, by the way, I jumped the gun before. I said before there's going to be five explanations. I made a mistake. Before there was two explanations in the Machlekes between Ben Zema and Rabbi Yehuda. Two explanations. One explanation, which we fell off of, was it's a Machlekes, whether or not it's Meichel Avayda, whether the Avayda is Pasul but the Evid. And we fell off it because everyone agrees Avayda is Lakash but the Evid. And we said Machlekes is whether or not it's Drabbanan or Deraisa, whether it's a Chiva Se or only a Drabbanan. That's the second explanation. There is going to be That those the first explanation didn't stick. Second explanation did stick. Over here in this question that we're asking, that we have a steer of Yehuda. In one Bryce Yehuda saying that we went to the mikvah, the mitzvah went to the mikvah the night before, and therefore does not have to go to the mikvah the next day. And the second Bryce seems to say, if there's a chamber lishkas of mitzvah, where not only the mitzvah would go to the mikvah on their eighth day, so to other people who go to visit other azar would go to the mikvah. But it sounds like the mitzvah they think does have to go to the mikvah. We have a steer of Yehuda. That's where I jumped the gun before. That's where we have the words to go for five tritzim, but the first two are not going to stick. So the first tritzim we wanted to say was like. Go over again inside. If in the first, the Bryce where he decides he doesn't have to go to the mikvah again in the morning because he went to the mikvah the night before, and the Bryce which says he has to go again in the morning is because he didn't go the night before. In fact, if he didn't go the night before, what happened? He's still missing here of Shemesh. He's missing here of Shemesh. So that first teretz is scrapped. Ella, I divide the tavel. We told my case where both Bryces, where the guy went to the mikvah, and hadas achdas. In the case he's missing achdas, then he has to go again if he. Lost if he diverted his attention away from this entire process, then he's got to go again in the morning. If he didn't divert his attention, then he doesn't have to go again in the morning. That's the difference between the two members of Yehuda. But both agree he has to go to the mikvah, and if he goes to the mikvah at night, that would be sufficient as long as not mesiach das. Ask the Gemara not so fast. Because if you talk about case with mesiach das mamish, if he totally forgot, he diverted his attention from the fact he's in the middle of the entire process, it's not just good enough to go to the mikvah again. He's got to repeat the process of having the ashes of the paraduma spritzed on him on day 3 and day 7. He needs to have the azav day 3 and day 7 repeated on him again. One who was Mesir Das from his entire process, he has to redo the whole sprinkling of Paradum waters again. So that can't be the case either. So Teres number two, Chiluk number two between the two Behudas is also deflected. Again, Chiluk number two was that one case is Mesir Das, one case is not Mesir Das. If it's Mesir Das, he has to start the whole thing again. So that can't be. Ella, now we're up to Teres number three, and Teres number three, four, and five will stick. Ella, I divide less. We're talking about when there's no Das. Like, gosh, how do you al das bias b'chaydish? He went to the mikvah. And we're talking about both cases. We went to mikvah the night before. If we went to mikvah the night before, then presumably he should have to go to mikvah today, as long as he was mesiach das, and he was mesiach das. But what was his intent when he went to mikvah the night before? In one case, he went to the mikvah with intent that he's going to be going to the Azara the next day. So he already satisfied his tefillah's mikvah for the Azara. He need not go again. That was the first brisa. This most recent brisa, which says, according to Rabbi Yechon, he has to go again, is because he went to the mikvah the night before, but didn't have any intent about going into the mikdash the next day, and therefore, in order to go to the mikdash the next day, he has to go into the mikvah again. Ibai Zema Tani Loi Mitzram Amru Ela Koladam says the Mark Shmakachab. I mean, you have to take out a word, but the wording we have till now in the second verse was Rabbi Yehuda says not only did Mitzram go to the mikvah in that chamber of Lishkas Mitzram, even whoever else, not the Mitzram, whoever else is going to the Azara for the first time would have to go to the mikvah there. But the point is, according to that Girsa, certainly the Mitzrayim had to go to the mikvah again on the eighth day, and that was Akasha. According to this new Girsa, we take out the word Bavad. And so don't read it that loy, not only the Mitzram Bavan, not only the Mitzram, but rather also the people. Take out the word only, and all you're reading now is not the Mitzrayim, but rather other people. In this Lishka, you're telling me the Mitzrayim used to go to the mikvah. They did not, because they had gone the night before. Not the Mitzrayim, rather other people. That is a second teretz that sticks, a third teretz that sticks, which is a fifth teretz overall. Ravina Amar, Ravina Devendra, Rabbanan Kamerlo, Ravina was talking to the Rabbanan in their language. I mean, Ravina Taka holds, you don't have to go to mikvah b'chal. But he says as follows, Lidi di mitzaren teretz tefila, according to me, mitzaren doesn't need tefila. B'chal, because he went already on the seventh day. Lidi tchu, idly, easy, emias. Admit to me at least the following. The lay mitzaren of Anamru, that not only mitzaren have to go to mikvah on the eighth, and the kol don't have to go on that day. For Rabbanu, the Rabbanu will say, "Big aside, Mitzayra Diash Beitima, Kadam LeDash Beitima." This dinner going to the mikvah going to Azara is more applicable to Mitzayra because he was deeply steeped in Tuma. When he's Mitzayra, he's Mamish Tami, he's like Avatuma. So everything he touches Tami, so he's not even Makban anymore. And since he was deeply steeped in Tuma, we need it in order to take him out. We need to do more of a tefillah process. Whereas regular person was so steeped in Tuma, we're not have to go to the mikvah before going to Azara, which would come out that we have a complete new shita now. We had shitas. We had this idea that whoever was going to Azara has to go to the mikvah. We have a chalikas ben zema and Rebbe. Why is it stomach zera d'abanan as Rebbe, or is it a din d'oraisa ben zema? And I say now we're introducing a shitas chachamim that a regular guy going to the azara does not have to go to the mikvah as long as he's pursued tahara. He doesn't go to the mikvah. It was dafka a mitzayra the yash betuba who Stephen Tuba was a such a concern. Let's see a few more lines. We'll stop. Amar abayla reisiv neima rabbanan to plead yelat. Shall we say the rabbanan who argue on Yehuda? Let us say there are Banan, this is talking about in the second Raisa that we quoted. Let's say there are Banu who argue on Yehuda Let us say they go like Ben Zayma, who holds that there's a deraisa obligation. Meaning these darabanan going back to the Bryce that says you don't have to go to the mikvah mitzvah on the 8th because you already went the night before. The Tanakam of that Bryce says the mitzvah does have to go to the mikvah. Let us plug in and say that the Tanakam of that Bryce fits like Ben Zayma. I if that's the case, so everyone has to go to the mikvah going to the Azara, not just the mitzvah. So why are we stressing mitzvah? To stress the Kaich of Yuda that holds even by mitzvah. Since you went the night before, you need not go to the mikvah. That's one way to read. I did, but we can go back to the Bryce and say, Shani Mitzvah, Dash Betumma. Or we can say that no, Mitzvah is different because it's Dash Betumma. That's why they're abundant that Bryce require going to the mikvah again on the 8th morning. But normally they wouldn't. In which case, it wouldn't be like a Ben Zayim at all. It wouldn't be like a Ben Zayim at all. Says Gemara, Amalei, Reis of Tak responded, Shani Mitzvah, Dash Betumma. The story we just mentioned. A Mitzvah is a very steep in Timah. And that's why over there, Dafka, we're trying to set up that he goes to the mikvah, not just the 8th, 7th day, maybe potentially even the 8th day, but don't be there as a riot that opinion holds like Ben Zayim. Maybe that opinion's not as much for Ben Zayim. Maybe that opinion's more lenient. But just over here, by Mitzvah, we are, Mitzvah in particular, we happen to be more Machmer. Okay, just 2 points outside. So we spoke out already the Machlekes Rashi Tosfos versus Tosfos Shanim, whether we're talking about a regular person, anyone going to the Azara, having to go to the mikvah, that's Rashi Tosfos, nothing to do with Avoda. Tosfos Shanim says, no, it's Dafka relates to Avoda. Dafka relates to Avoda. The Lashon of Ein Adam, Nichlas Ba'Azara, says the Siach Yitzchak, that would be Mashma, that it's tak anyone not doing avoda. Ein adam is because if it's a kayin, if it's dafka avoda, it has to be a kayin. If it's not for avoda, then it's ein adam, a general person. That fits better like Rashi Tosfos, not like the Tosfos Shanim. Okay. Point number two, last point of the day. Really, there's two parts to this that we said that according to Ben Zayim, there's an asay. There's a chiyav asay. We learn a kavu chaymer from the Kohen Gadol Kippur, that he's got to go to the mikveh every time he changes the Gadol, even though he's going from Kodesh to Kodesh, and from Makam of Chiyuv Karas to Makam of Chiyuv Karas, he still has to go to the mikveh. Certainly, a regular person going to the Azara, going from Chayil to Kodesh, has to go to the mikveh. That was our Kavu Chaymer, and we said, according to Ben Zayma, it's an Asay. So 2 points. First, we'll see, Yechizuk points out, we have a klal. Ein Shem Ben Adin, Ein Mazir Ben Adin. We don't give punishments from a Kavu Chaymer. We don't learn out Isurim. We don't learn Azaras, Lavim, from a Kavachimer. But apparently, you know what you could learn now? Assays. Over here, we're talking about assay, and we have no problem learning it from Kavachimer. So apparently, even if you hold Einach Benadin, Ibn Zibanadin, but learning an assay from a Kavachimer, that apparently flies. That is the Siach Yitzchak's Diak, and our Sugya, Chorifak Shemaka Diak. And furthermore, the Maschich also adds that that he goes right from here that the idea of Iavad Mahani doesn't apply to assays, only late assays, because the Gemara says that. The nafkamina would be bidi evid if you mechel aveda. We said lemaisi not mechel. If you skip this tefillah, it doesn't ruin, it doesn't defile the aveda. Bidi evid, it's okay without it. L'chayra, if you tell me that it's an asay, then l'chayra we shav a klal. Yav lemani, if you do what you're not supposed to, if you don't, or you don't do what you're supposed to, it shouldn't work. Yav we say go bidi evid, it does work. L'chayra, that'll be a raya that by an asay, there's a din of yavin. There's no din of yav lemani. In comparison to Lysosay, I'm just thinking out loud now that maybe it's different Bechlal, because by Kachim, unless you have a double Lashon, it's not Ma'akiv, and maybe that's why it's Yavin Mahani, nothing to do with Asay versus Lysosay, but that is a Svar Maratzchias, being the Svar, that by Asays, we say Yavin Mahani, instead of, even if you hold normally, Yavin Mahani, we'll pause over here and pick up for tomorrow, Mitzvah. Have a wonderful evening.